Good morning. Am I on? Yeah, you can hear me? Good morning. Wow, what a great morning so far. Let's hope it doesn't go downhill from here. I think Ben said we're slightly outside of time, but I reckon we're exactly in time, because what God has planned for this morning, it's up to him, and if that's entirely up to God. And I think it's amazing that, you know, we just have this flexibility to be able to, you know, I'm not precious what time I get on, or whatever happens, or how short or long I get. This is God's time, and I just think it's amazing just to let the freedom of the Holy Spirit do what he wants of a morning without us strategically mapping out every single little bit. I think that's really, really good. And also, every time I share and preach, I'm just so blown away by God, because I'd not chatted to Penny about what she was going to do for kids. I'd not briefed Craig to share from Psalm 27. But yet all these things are built into what I want to talk about this morning, and we've not had that conversation. It's almost like there's a God up there who knows what he's doing, you know, and I'm so encouraged by that. I'm so encouraged when that happens, and it's almost every time that happens, and it builds your faith, really builds my faith. And this morning, the message I wanted to bring, I've entitled The Art of Vulnerability. And a toy between, is it the power of vulnerability or the art of vulnerability? And actually, it's both. But the reason I've called it the art of vulnerability is because we have a responsibility as ourselves to step into areas whereby we're outside of our own control. We see it all throughout this book, where men and women of God are willing to step into areas where they are outside of their own control, where God has got to turn up. And you read this, and actually, what I see in here is the more vulnerable the person puts themselves in, the more level of vulnerability there is, the greater the move of God, the more powerful the move of God. And I really want to get into an area of my life where I'm practicing this art of vulnerability, where I'm allowing myself to be in situations and circumstances where it's outside of my own control. And there's no better, I think, there's a lot of stories, but I love the story of David. And David puts himself into an area of vulnerability without question. We've seen it on the VeggieTales this morning. He puts himself into an area where he's outside of his own control. That giant is massive and he's just a little asparagus. He needs God to show up, because in human reality, that giant is stronger, taller, bigger. But he needs God to show up. And when he steps out into that area, from if you hear the words of David wrote Psalm 27 that Craig read out this morning, David's ability to step into that area of vulnerability was based on his understanding of who God was. David says, even if all my enemies surround me, still I know you're faithful, still I know you'll come through for me. Because his trust and knowledge of God, he was willing to be in an area where he was vulnerable. And we see it all throughout this book. Even think of Jesus, God coming to earth. He could have come as an adult, born into a fairly well-known home with money, and you think that would surely give you better standing. But he chose to come as a baby born in a stable. Vulnerability is spelled out all through the stories we read in here. And yet, I recognize in my own life, it's a real area of struggle, because I so often want to take control. I want to give God a helping hand. And he says, come as you are. And I sometimes think if we were to to beam a situations, if I was to beam a situations in some of the stories in this book, I would want to give God some help. I'd probably equip David with a machine gun. I'd probably give Elijah a blowtorch on Mount Carmel. I'd probably send Gideon to Sandhurst. And I'd probably give Moses a public speaking sort of qualification or something. I'd definitely send the disciples to theology school. But all throughout here, we see God pick people who are not, in worldly terms, up to the task. And he doesn't give them any Sandhurst training for Gideon. When God calls Gideon, he's threshing wheat in a wine press. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You go to a high mountain and you throw it in the air. He was being a coward, and yet God comes to him, and first words he says is mighty warrior. The way God sees us is different to the circumstances we're in and how we feel about ourselves. That's a real truth we have to grasp hold of. And God brought this word of the art of vulnerability to me maybe about 5 years ago, and I've pulled it off, to be honest, because when God first spoke this word to me, it transformed my life. But then, as the last couple of years, and this is, I almost feel like sharing this word is me giving an opportunity to be vulnerable so I can step out into more of the areas where God wants to call me. Because I feel like I've lost that ability a little bit to be vulnerable. I feel like I'm a little bit less vulnerable, not willing to take those risks that I was when I first felt this message revealed to me. And I really want to get back to that place. I really want to start stepping out in vulnerability. I want to be outside of my own control, out of my comfort zones, doing things where God shows up and does powerful things. It was around about, this journey started, around about 2009. And I started having some quite unpleasant health problems, a lot around my digestion, particularly around indigestion and acid reflux. Really, really unpleasant, quite nasty symptoms. And they would go on for like 3 or 4 months without releasing. And then I'd maybe have a few weeks of it settling down, and then it would flare back up again. And I went through various tests with the doctors to try and find out what was wrong. I was on loads of different medication. At one point, I had a camera down my throat. Another point, I had to wear this pipe down my throat for like 24 hours. And it was really, really unpleasant as they were trying to determine what was wrong, what was causing the action in my stomach. And anyone who knew me around that time knew how it affected me. It was affecting my job. It was affecting my marriage. It was affecting my church life. I was probably in a bit of a rut. And I felt, because this went on for a number of years, maybe 2.5, 3 years, I was frightened that this was going to become the new norm. That it would not relinquish. It would not go. I would be stuck like this for the rest of my life. And I went to many different appointments from doctors, loads and loads of different tests. And I remember one particularly in 2012, and I'd eventually moved from GPs, and I was now under a consultant trying to work out, run all these different tests. And I was going for this last test, and I was going for results. And I remember sitting in the waiting room. And as I was sitting in the waiting room, I was reading a book. And this book was all about daring to believe God for the impossible. And an amazing phrase that jumped out as I was sitting in that waiting room was this: if you're not daring to believe God for the impossible, you're sleeping through some of the best parts of your Christian life. If you're not daring to believe God for the impossible, you're sleeping through some of the best parts of your Christian life. And I read that as I was sat in this waiting room. I went through, I had my appointment with the doctor, and I left with more joy than I think I'd ever felt in my life. I left that doctor's appointment. And you might think, well, what did that doctor say to me? What did he say that made me leave with so much joy? Well, it might surprise you, but the doctor said to me, these were his words, "We've reached the conclusion of all the tests that we can do, and we cannot find what's causing this reaction. Therefore, there's nothing further we can do. We hope it will settle down in time." And I left that doctor's surgery filled with joy. And you know why? Because all my hope, all of my sense of being able to get out of this situation was rooted in the doctors. It was my whole hope was rooted in them finding a solution. Now, don't get me wrong. If I'd have left that doctor's and they said, "Here's a pill, take this and everything will be sorted," I still would have had joy. But the fact that I left that with them saying, "We've reached all the tests, there's nothing more we can do," I left with joy. And the reason I had that joy was not a joy which I've manufactured at myself. It was in realization that I was entirely and completely vulnerable before God. But all my hope, all my trust in this not becoming the new norm was rested in God. One who had an unlimited capacity to heal. One who had an unlimited capacity to strengthen me. The doctors had reached their capacity to help me. And then I was, all I could do was be thrust into to a God who had an unlimited capacity. You see, before we put, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doctors. Don't get me wrong. They provide, God uses them to heal. But for me, in my circumstance, in my situation, I needed to have that hope in God. You see, I wanted to fix first and pray later. And so often, in the small things, I find I still do that. When I'm faced with a situation, don't know if it's because I'm a man, I want to fix it, and then I'll pray. And I could give you many, many examples of stupid situations I've got myself in. If you've ever heard the story of Rome, if not, I can share it with you another time. I don't have time this morning. But a ridiculous situation I got myself in because I decided to try and fix before I decided to pray. And, you know, the problem is, if we miss it in the small things, we're going to miss it in life. If we're unable to be vulnerable and seek God in the small things, then we're going to miss those amazing experiences that we can have in our Christian life. You know, vulnerability doesn't have to be what crushes you. It can be your greatest strength. And my favorite verse in the Bible, one of them, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. And this is Paul talking about a struggle he's having. Theologians will argue what the thorn in his side was, but it doesn't really matter. All it says to me is that even people like Paul have struggles in life, which gives me encouragement. But he had a struggle in his life, whatever that might have been. And he says at the start of verse 8, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Amen. I don't know whether you get the magnitude and the grasp of what Paul is saying here. But he says, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties." Because in all of those situations and circumstances in our lives, that's where Christ's power is made perfect. And I don't know whether it's society, but I so feel a pressure to take control, to display a certain image, to not be vulnerable. We're not talking here about reckless vulnerability where we jump out of a plane without a parachute or dive off a mountain. We're talking about jumping off a mountain on a harness when we know the strength of the anchor, and that anchor is God and he loves us. But I feel there's almost this pressure in society that tells us we have to be perfect, we have to take control, we can't show any weaknesses. And the danger is, if that creeps into the church, we don't allow Christ's power to be made perfect. You know, it's a lie that we have to have it all together. We don't have to. Sometimes I feel as a church leader that I've got to have it all together. And it's a lie. None of us have to have it all together. None of us. You see, the moment we start to believe that we have to have it all together, we don't come up for altar calls. We don't seek someone to share areas where we're struggling. And we refuse or struggle to step out of the boat because we want to be in control. You know, we need to enter into those times where we're vulnerable. And we have to overcome this pressure to just think, I've got to be strong, I've got to be the best I can be. You know, we can go before God with all of our weaknesses. Find one person in here, aside from Jesus, who had it all together, and God used them. It's full of stories of people who were broken, messed up, made mistakes. Out of that vulnerability, God used them in incredible ways. And sometimes I just feel, even within the church, in my own life, the pressure to be perfect, to have it all together, to not admit where I'm struggling. You know, I struggle with my prayer life. It's an area I really struggle with. That's me being vulnerable to you. I haven't got this in my notes. I wasn't going to share it. But I'm saying now, it's an area I really struggle with. So will you pray for me? We need to replicate this. And if it takes me to stand here and be vulnerable and tell you all the skeletons in my closet, all the warts and all, you know, I want to do that. You know, because I don't want, sometimes with leaders as well, it can be damaging because we can look up and think they've got it all sorted. Because sometimes there is this feel and this need to think we have got it all sorted, but the church want to look and think, yeah, they've got it all sorted. But actually, you know what? We want to grow. We want to see Christ's power made perfect. We have to be honest about our struggles. We have to be honest about the areas where we're weak. You know, Paul says at the end of Ephesians to the church, pray for me to have boldness. Now, I can't think of anyone in this book who had more boldness than Paul. But I bet if we had Paul here, or when we get to heaven, if you ask Paul, do you consider yourself to be bold? He would say, no, it's an area I struggled with. I bet you he would. And the reason we see him as one of the boldest people in the Bible is because he was honest and vulnerable enough to say, I struggle with boldness. You see, our areas where we feel weak, when we bring them into the light and we ask for support, we ask for prayer, that's where our weaknesses can become our greatest strengths. Christ's power made perfect in our weaknesses. Christ's power made perfect in our weaknesses. So I was thinking, what does this actually look like? You know, because I really feel we need to release control and practice. It's an art. I really believe vulnerability is an art because I think it goes against our whole human nature. You know, we feel like we're probably designed to survive, not to be in vulnerable positions. You know, so it goes against our nature almost to be vulnerable. So it's an art. We have to step into it. We have to practice it. I remember Go praying once with Dave and Ben in here, and was going out into the park to pray for people. You may have heard this story before, but it's a great example, I feel, of God, of how stepping into vulnerability. It's already a vulnerable thing to go out into the park and just approach someone and say, "Can I pray for you?" I find that a hard thing to do. I don't know. People are gifted and have amazing gifts of that, but I find that a really hard thing to do. It terrifies me. And we've met and we prayed, and I particularly had an image of a woman on a park bench, and I laugh now because I think, well, that's not really uncommon. Was that flesh, spirit? Doesn't really matter. But I thought, I'm going to see a woman on a park bench in a park, you know. To be honest, if God had told me something more specific, you're going to see a woman with a red hat and a pink skirt, and she'll be jogging through the park, and that would be easy. But I think God wanted to build my level of vulnerability. So he gave me a woman on a bench in a park. And I remember walking out these doors, and right ahead was a bench, and a woman was sat on the bench. And I thought, yes, that's my woman. That's the one. And I went up to her with boldness, and I said to her, "We've just been in there, we're praying, and I felt God tell me there was going to be a woman in the park on a bench, and she needed to be prayed for." And she turned around to me and goes, "I don't speak English." So I thought, right, this is God testing my level of vulnerability. So I decided, as any ignorant English man would do, was to adopt the international sign for "me pray for you." So I went, "Me pray for you." At which point she got up and left. I did consider chasing after her, but I thought, no, I'll let this one go. But you know, that made me think, I've got this wrong. But there was still something in my heart. You see, when we do something where we're being vulnerable, and it doesn't turn out, doesn't quite work out, and you'll find that a lot. You'll find it a lot in the Bible. You'll find it a lot in your own Christian lives. You may have stepped out into an area that you felt God was calling you into or do something, and it didn't work out. You know, that's not a failure. That brings us into a deeper level of vulnerability. And when we look, I love the story of Elijah. He pours water to create fire. He entered into a deeper level of vulnerability. And the deeper the level of vulnerability we enter, the more powerful the move of God. And sometimes God uses the times where we think, oh, we've got it wrong, or God's got it wrong, or something's not quite happening here. God uses those times to push us into a greater and deeper area of vulnerability. So I decided after that disastrous meeting with that woman to keep looking for a woman on a bench in a park. And I found one just at the back by the kids skating bit. And I thought, right, I'm going to try again. And I went up to her and I said, "We've just been praying, I'm from the church there, and I felt someone needed some prayer." This was a woman sat on a bench in a park. And she said, "I've just stormed out of my house because I've had an argument with my partner." And she just started sobbing. And I was able to comfort her. I was able to share the gospel with her, told her about the church, and I was able to pray for her. And she openly wanted prayer. She wasn't a Christian, but she openly wanted prayer. And at the end, after about 10 minutes, she looked me in the eye and she hugged me in a way that said, "That meant so much to me. That meant so much to me." I've not met her again. I invited her along to church. She didn't come. It's, you know, whatever happened, God's in control of that. But because I didn't allow that vulnerability to overcome me, I didn't allow it to crush me, I used it as a strength. You know, it's uncomfortable. It's not easy. It's difficult. But the deeper the level of vulnerability, the greater the move and the power of God, I believe. And we have to practice getting into this. But so I was thinking, what are the barriers to vulnerability? What are they? Because there's got to be some, because I've struggled in this area since God spoke this word to me. And particularly recently in the last 6 months to a year, I've struggled to take those risks I've felt. So what are the barriers? And another one of my favourite verses in the Bible is in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians. Love this verse. It's Ephesians 1 verse 3. And it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes I like to think, because, you know, Paul wrote letters. He wrote letters to people. So he's addressing situations, or he's addressing questions or actual real life things. So on the other side of what Paul is saying here, there may be another conversation. There may be some other thought, someone else saying something else that he's addressing. And I like to think about, when I was studying this verse, I like to think that maybe he was addressing two areas that I recognize in my life where that are a barrier to vulnerability. And the first area is pride. It's in direct opposition to vulnerability. And I feel that Paul could be addressing in this letter, if you think about what the other conversation might be, that the church in Ephesus, or some people in Ephesus, and this is what I say sometimes, this is what I feel myself sometimes, is maybe they were saying, you know what, we've got this great church building. We've got this great team employed here. We've got this great area. We've got these great plans. We've got these great projects. We've got all this money. We've got our strength, our resources. And I feel that that in this letter, Paul could be addressing that and saying, you've got all of that, that's fine. But none of it really matters if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And pride sometimes gets him away, because our own strength, our own need to take control, gets him away of vulnerability, our own pride. And I feel Paul is saying, yeah, you've got all those things, but don't rely on them. Don't rely on them. You've been given every spiritual blessing. Those are the things that you need to make an impact for the kingdom of God. You know, pride can be one of the biggest barriers to vulnerability. And it's an art, again, because we have to step out of that and into something. Think of Paul. He tells people that he struggles with boldness. Think about areas where you struggle. You don't have to tell the whole church. You can find someone you trust, someone to walk through those areas where you struggle, maybe with sin, or maybe with prayer life, or reading the word, or whatever that is. Find someone and tell them, I'm struggling in this area. Be vulnerable. Find relationships where you can be vulnerable with one another. Because I really believe if we can speak out where we feel weak, where we feel vulnerable, that's where Christ's power is made perfect, and it overcomes pride. You know, another area that I recognize in my life that could contradict or counter-argue what Paul is saying here is, aside from, yeah, I've got it all sorted out, I've got everything I need, is I don't feel adequate enough. I don't feel like I can do it. I don't feel like I've got the right training. I don't feel like I've got the right resources. I don't feel like I've been to theology college or, you know, to preach. Or I don't feel like I know enough about prayer. I don't feel I've been a Christian long enough. And here Paul is saying, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everything has been given to you. It's there for you to tap into. And don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what God can give you and equip you with. David was not a muscle man giant. But he recognized that God had equipped him with every spiritual blessing he needed to overcome that giant. And it doesn't matter about the qualifications that you feel you've got, because God can put you in areas where he can make his power perfect through your weaknesses. So two real, I feel, barriers to vulnerability can be pride and feeling inadequate. And we need to step through those. We need to overcome these things. You know, I was doing a bit of research about anchor points. And I'm not really that into extreme sports. I'd never jump out of a plane or anything like that. But I do quite enjoy abseiling. I haven't been many times, but I do enjoy abseiling. And I looked at what the largest abseil is that you can just turn up. Not just, I'm sure you can't just turn up. But the largest commercial abseil is in Africa, in a place called Lesotho. Country called Lesotho, yeah. And it's at this place called the Malasunny Falls, and it's 204 meters up in the air. That's high. And you can abseil down this waterfall, and it's recorded as the highest there is. And I was thinking, there's nothing more vulnerable, surely, than dangling at that point on like a 1 centimeter rope overlooking 204 meters. You know, you need to know the strength of the anchor point. You need to have confidence and trust in the strength of the anchor point. You see, I've talked about barriers. But you know what underpins our overcoming of all of these barriers? It's knowing the strength of the anchor point. You see, no one's going to go off these falls, 204 meters, without making sure that anchor point is screwed down. Making sure the company you're going with is, you know, this guy just hasn't rocked up and knocked a hammer into the ground. You want to know the strength of the anchor point. In order to walk in vulnerability, we need to know the strength of the anchor point. You know, our ability to be vulnerable rests in our confidence in the anchor. And I really believe there's two ways that we can overcome these barriers, that we can know the strength of the anchor. One, I once described the Bible as God's CV, God's application form to your life. This is him writing, saying, these are the things I can do for you. This is who I am. Invite me into your life. Give me the job of Lord over your life. You know, if we want to know the strength of the anchor, when we buy an anchor point, you read the instructions, you read the, it's an EU standard, it's got a kite mark, but what it can stand, what pressures it can take. If you want to understand the strength of God as your anchor, we need to get to know him. And we can get to know him through the word. And we can get to know him through our times of prayer, having intimacy with him. Because we will not be able to step into vulnerability. What David wrote in Psalm 27, that was written on his heart, and that gave him the strength to stand before Goliath. If we don't have that written on our hearts, then standing before Goliath is fairly foolish. If we don't know the strength of the anchor, if we don't have trust, it's reckless vulnerability. But if we know the strength of the anchor, if we know who he is, we know he loves us, we know he cares for us. When we know that, we can have confidence in stepping out. And the second point is once we know and are confident in the strength of the anchor, you know, the only other way of testing the strength of an anchor is to step off. Is to make that leap, make that first jump. And at that point, then you will know whether or not that anchor is going to support you, or not. And when you know God, when you see what he does, when you have that relationship with him, it still doesn't mean it's not frightening to step out the boat. But ultimately, we have to test the strength of the anchor. We have to step out. We have to put our trust in God and walk in vulnerability, because I really, really feel it's key to not sleeping through the best parts of our Christian life. You know, today we've mentioned is the day of Pentecost. And today we remember when a room full of people gathered together in prayer, in expectation, when the world said, "You're fools." When the world said, "Jesus is dead." When the world said, "The last 4 or 5 years of your life has been wasted. You followed somebody who has been crucified." And yet they were vulnerable enough, when everyone else against them said, "You're fools," they were vulnerable enough to wait in that room in expectation of the strength of the anchor. And today we remember and celebrate the faithfulness of God, that he sent his Holy Spirit to give us every and make available every spiritual blessing available to us. They experienced the strength of the anchor. And today, we can step into vulnerability. We can be prayed for. We can share the areas we struggle. We can take leaps of faith. Because God is faithful. He's told us he is. Now we have to step out and experience it ourselves. Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord, which has made it through thousands of years, so that in 2016 we can stand with a copy of the incredible works that you've done throughout all time. Lord, I pray that you will give us a hunger to read this word. Lord, I pray that you will give us a hunger to find intimacy, to find strengthening relationship with you as our anchor. Lord, I want to be outside of my own control. Lord, if all I ever do is things that I can achieve through my own human strength, then I've missed a huge opportunity in my life. Lord, I want to give you the opportunity to work through all of my weaknesses, for your power to be made perfect in my troubles, in my difficulties, in the areas where I struggle. Lord, I want to bring you through and walk in vulnerability. Lord, will you give us a heart and a passion, Lord, to not want to take control. Lord, to pour water onto an altar in front of 500 people in the confidence that you will light that up. And Lord, I want to walk before giants in the confidence that you will overcome. Lord, will you pour out your spirit afresh upon us and lead us into this area of vulnerability, Lord, so that we can dare to believe you for the impossible, that we will walk, Lord, in incredible ways with you, all that you have for us. We won't sleep through our Christian lives, but we'll dare you for the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.